it's been hard to get the American public, the world population, the medical community, most public health officials to really understand and really accept the premise of nicotine addiction. One of the reasons it's been hard is historically, cigarettes were not referred to as an addiction. In fact, it was made extremely clear by some of the early professionals in public health who were working on tobacco issues that cigarette smoking clearly was not an addiction. This is a copy of the first Surgeon General report on smoking. And it was in 1964 it was released. Now, one thing I want to point out, the committee, the doctors on the committee, Luther Terry, who was the head of he was the Surgeon General at the time, all these people were not like anti-smoking fanatics. When people would hear, a Surgeon General, when it finally happened, you know, said that smoking does this and smoking does that, they shouldn't get the idea that this was just some sort of ivory tower committee of people who were anti-smoking people who were just trying to change the world. Most of the people on the committee were cigarette smokers. And it's funny, if you ever see the videos, and every now and then around in January, they often show video footage of the committee sitting around the table looking over the documents of all the problems caused by smoking. And if you look at those videos, most of these guys were smoking. They were, and again, it's not amazing when you consider over half the men in our country were smokers at that point in time in the United States. There was a significant number of physicians who were cigarette smokers. The dangers of smoking were not known. They were not clearly understood. Well, they started to get inclinations that there was trouble, and they, the forward in the book said in 1959 they started compiling the data. In 1964, January, it was released. It was a historic book. And what it did is it linked smoking to lung cancer. It was a pretty clear link that it made there. It talked about there might have been an association with heart disease. It said that people who smoke had higher heart disease, but it didn't say it was a causal effect. They couldn't tell. They didn't really understand the mechanisms involved. So they knew that the numbers of smokers having heart problems was high, higher than it should have been, but they didn't really know what the mechanism involved was. The part I'm going to focus, though, in this segment here is what it said about the addiction to smoking. And I kind of skimmed it. I haven't looked at this book for quite a number of years. It's been sitting in my basement collecting dust. I remember looking for this at one point to see how many times the word addiction was used in this book. I think it was used once. Habit is throughout the book. In the summaries, in the conclusions, in the discussion, habit is repeated over and over and over again. Anytime it talked about why people were smoking, it referred to the habit. I'm going to read what it says about addiction. And it's just one paragraph. It's on page 34 of the book. If anyone wants to go through the trouble, I'm having trouble finding the camera here, but I'm going to read what it says, and it's a characterization of the tobacco habit. The habitual use of tobacco is related primarily to psychological and social drives, reinforced and perpetuated by the pharmacological actions of nicotine and the central nervous system. Nicotine-free tobacco or other plant materials do not satisfy the needs of those who acquire the tobacco habit. The tobacco habit should be characterized as a habituation rather than an addiction. That is the one part, the one time I think the word addiction is used in this book. This continuation of smoking, although possessing the difficulties attendant upon extinction of any conditioned reflex, is accomplished best by reinforcing factors which interrupt the psychogenic drives. Nicotine substitutes or supplementary medications have not been proven to be of major benefit in breaking the habit. This report basically set the tone for decades. The tobacco industry referred to it all the time. It was like years after this report was released. Anytime people started to wanted to explore the concept of this being a drug addiction, the tobacco industry just kept on saying, no, look at the Surgeon General report. It clearly says it's not an addiction. Even as later reports started to discuss the implication, they still kept referring back to this one. And it wasn't, that went on. That went on for a very long time. It went on until this report. This report was in 1988. And the title of that report was Nicotine Addiction. This was the Surgeon General report in 1988. 24 years after this report. But until that point, it was just constantly referred to that this was not an addiction. Not that maybe it was an addiction, it was just not an addiction, because the Surgeon General said so. I did my first clinic in 1976, and I don't know if I said it in my first clinic that it was an addiction. I know I said it in my second clinic, which was a few months later in 1976. It was so obvious from dealing with my first group of people, what I was dealing with here, how these people who had short-term past quits had relapsed instantly, and just other little things that they were saying that was so clear in the first group what had occurred with that group. These people were drug addicts. I was working as a volunteer basis with the American Cancer Society at the time, and it wasn't until about a year later that they hired me to do programs. And as I was doing these original programs as a staff member, I used to have to use their booklets. I used to have to use their material. And I would sit there, basically with my group. I'd have to pass out the material, but I would go through sections with them to tell them, totally disregard this, because they kept on talking about the habit. They kept on talking about cutting down. They kept on talking about, which is still my biggest peeve when it comes down to it, don't let a slip put you back to smoking. I mean, this is just common throughout all the literature it seems out there. They'll say, oh, a slip is really bad. You know, yeah, be real careful. Don't do it. But if you slip, don't let that put you back to smoking. You know, if you take a puff, no big deal. That's really how an addict will read that comment. Again, it makes as much sense as telling an alcoholic, oh, listen, I know you've been off for 20 years, that's great, but listen, if you drink, you know, next week or so, if you take a sip, you know, at some occasion, don't let that worry you. You know, don't go back to using. You know, that, yeah, it was a bad thing to do, but whatever you do, don't go back. It's like telling a heroin addict, listen, if you shoot up New Year's Eve, we understand, you know, yeah, people do stuff like that. And listen, if you shoot up New Year's Eve, please don't let that put you back to using. The message that addicts need to understand isn't, don't let administration of that drug put you back to using. The message needs to be, don't administer that drug, because if you do, you're going back to using. I mean, taking a puff, when it comes to now on a cigarette, taking a puff to an ex-smoker means they're either going through smoking again or they're going through quitting again. Those are both lousy options. There's a third option that has existed since the beginning of time for smokers. There's a third option, and that option is you don't take a cigarette. That's how you keep a quit going. But because that, again, the early pioneers in this field didn't recognize that, and because for years it was being contested by so many professionals. Again, when I was doing my original talks, I was being blasted. Here I am taking my own organization material and saying, disregard this, which ticked a lot of people off. I mean, usually in the audience. I mean, usually smokers in the group who were trying to almost rationalize why they should still be able to smoke. And how can you attack your own organization? It was easy. My loyalty was never to an organization. It was to the people in that room to save their lives. We were trying to get them off smoking and trying to help them understand what they needed to do. And then in the interim time period, again, public health professionals were fighting me all the time when I would do these talks and I would say, this is an addiction. They were saying, you can't say it's an addiction. The Surgeon General report says it's not an addiction. All those years, I was totally wrong because of what the Surgeon General said. Well, then the Surgeon General changed his mind. It was a different Surgeon General with a lot more information. I'll give him that. You know, it wasn't that, it was just a personality issue. He thought when that report was released, it spelled the end of smoking. He thought he was going to tell people what smoking did, how horrible it was. And this is what happened to the committee people. These people quit smoking. They saw the accumulating data, and they realized, again, the extensive damage that this product was doing, and these people started quitting smoking, and because of that, they worked with the assumption that once the public got the information, it would spell the end of smoking, and unfortunately, it didn't go that way. And again, part of the reason, it helped people understand that it was a dangerous product, not how dangerous, but dangerous, but it didn't help them understand the addictive nature of the product. And without that understanding, it was hard for a lot of people to really know what they needed to do to quit smoking. Again, I was wrong the whole time period. Now, you know, I'm just another voice in the crowd saying it's a nicotine addiction. In a sense, though, we're still dealing with issues here with the entire public health community, you know. So now we're wrong in how to treat the addiction. Why? Well, because the Surgeon General says that nicotine replacement is the way to go. Using pharmaceuticals is the way to go. Again, I have a long-term history of not sticking with what the medical field is saying or the scientific field is saying on smoking. I'm hoping over time that they'll finally come around. not totally counting on it, but I'm hoping at some point they'll come around and realize what's wrong with the state of the art at this point in time and maybe do something about it. But I'm not counting on it. And I don't think any person who's a smoker today should be counting on it, that somehow they're going to now come up with the right recommendations that people need to do to quit smoking. I suspect for a very long time there's going to be the same sort of recommendation. When it comes down to it, if you can get people to understand what they need to do to quit smoking, it's extremely simple. It's stopping smoking. They don't need to buy products. They don't need to spend money on anything. In fact, there's no one who should make any money on people quitting smoking. You're just giving them a simple piece of information. Quit smoking. If you can get them to go to a pharmaceutical device that'll do whatever it does, well, someone's going to make a fortune on that. Our industry's going to make a fortune on that. But there is no money to be made by helping people understand what they really need to do to quit smoking. Again, the message is too simple. It's don't take a cigarette. Whether the scientific, medical community, public health community ever comes around to getting this message out, I don't know. I do know that everybody who listens to the message thinks that this is an addiction. And the way you treat this addiction is you stop delivering the drug. Everyone who listens to that, if they believed it, they had the tool in place they needed to quit. And for everyone now, today, as well as all those people in the past who have quit already and now want to know what they need to do to be able to stay off of smoking, again, don't sit and wait for the scientific community to come around and now tell you what that process needs to be. Millions of people have died waiting for this message to come out, and it's not coming. It's not here, and I don't see it anywhere close to being here. But the message that every ex-smoker needs to know today in order to sustain this quit is to keep it going, is as simple as just knowing, again, to never take another puff.